To the Gridiron Podcast, whether you're a returning listener or a new listener, welcome to the podcast. If you're on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. If you're on another platform, make sure to follow or like. That'll be helpful. Thank you. Now, today, a lot of stuff has happened in the NFL over these last couple of days, especially with free agency. With this free agency period, I'm getting more and more excited for this NFL season. How about you?
It's absolutely crazy. I'm super pumped.
And today we are going to be making a list of our top five teams in this free agency period so far. And to start things off, we have an honorable mention of the New England Patriots, who have made a couple of key moves already in terms of signing Milton Williams, Carlton Davis, and Harold Landry.
Yeah, I think that I knew Milton Williams was going to be a defensive tackle who's definitely going to hit the bank, and he did at $26 million per year. And it's a good signing for the Patriots. You know, I really thought that the Patriots were going to target receivers more, but honestly, they ended up stocking up their defense, which their defense to start off with last year wasn't too bad. So that was kind of surprising to me, but it was like they're upgrading. So maybe they go in the draft and they do draft a receiver, or, you know, they do draft an offensive position. So I was kind of surprised by that, but I do think the Patriots did make notable moves like Milton Williams and, oh my gosh, Carlton Davis. That's who I was looking for. Carlton Davis, who played for your Detroit Lions, Nick. So I think that those were some good signings for them, and that's why I think they're in my top five at least.
Yeah, in terms of like Carlton Davis, I kind of figured that he was going to be leaving Detroit after hearing that he wanted 15 plus million a year, and the Lions were only really offering him like 12. So I kind of expected him to leave, and I was seeing the rumors about the Patriots, and then obviously he did sign with the Patriots. And Harold Landry coming off the edge is going to be a key addition for this Patriots defense. Now, going into our five slot, we have the Seattle Seahawks. Now, a couple key reasons why we say the Seattle Seahawks is obviously who they got rid of in terms of DK Metcalf, Geno Smith, Tyler Lockett, just to name a couple. But in terms of their additions, I mean, they add a guy like Sam Darnold, who was a key factor for the Vikings last year, obviously leading them to a 14-3 record in the regular season. And he's going to be the franchise quarterback going forward as he signed a 3-year, $100 million deal.
Yeah, I want to also point out, too, earlier today, another signing for the Seahawks came out that they signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling. The reason why, even though it's a one-year deal, I think it's important because initially I was like, yeah, they signed Sam Darnold, but who's he throwing to now? You got Jackson Smith-Njigba, and now you have MVS. So that leads, like, one elite wide receiver one, I guess, that's left open. So, Nick, I want to kind of ask you, were you surprised by Seattle trading Geno Smith? Because I was certainly surprised. I didn't see any rumors or news that the Seahawks were going to dump Geno Smith.
Yes, I was definitely surprised. I was in the same boat as you. I did not expect him to be traded. I never saw anything going into it. I mean, to start the year, they were undefeated within the first four or five games last year. And it definitely surprised me to the fact where now you're getting rid of a lot of your key pieces. You're getting rid of your two top receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and now getting rid of your quarterback. And now Geno Smith is now with Pete Carroll, who he's used to. So I think he is kind of a better fit in the Raiders offense just because of the chemistry that he has with Pete Carroll. But I still don't think the Raiders are in a winning situation. Obviously, they did keep Max Crosby still, so We'll have to see what plays out in Vegas. But yeah, I did not see Geno Smith getting traded. But they do get their quarterback in Sam Darnold, who was on the back burner for most of his career, and then obviously his like salary kind of went up because of how he performed last year.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point there, and I do want to talk about that a little bit because for Seattle, this is a big deal. I thought that this is year two of under the McDaniel or McDonald era, and it was weird because as soon as they got rid of DK, Tyler, and Geno, it was like they're rebuilding in year two under this era. So Sam Darnold, 3 years, $100 million. I think I said in the previous episode, if not 2 episodes ago, that Sam Darnold's value, I think it went down. I thought it did. And because toward the end of the season, he didn't perform that well, especially in the playoffs. But Seattle, or they're going all in on him. So do you think that this is maybe a desperation move by Seattle to get another quarterback because they're not in a position to draft one?
I could see that. Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily a desperation move, but I do think that it's a key move because they don't have a top draft spot to get one of those elite quarterbacks like Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, like those type of players. If you're looking at drafting a quarterback, you're looking at maybe like a second round, maybe like a Jalen Milroe type of quarterback. So I think Sam Darnold being added to the Seahawks gives them that veteran that you can rely on. He's a reliable quarterback. Yes, at the end of the season, when it came down to the final couple of weeks plus the postseason, he did not look his best. So it will, like I said, it will be very interesting to see how really both of these teams kind of play out in terms of the Raiders and the Seahawks.
Yeah, I want to also talk about a move that was also made today. The Seahawks acquired DeMarcus Lawrence, longtime Cowboy. And I mean, I think that that's a pretty big move for them. Seahawks have always kind of had that solid defense, and they re-signed guys like Jerron Reed. But I think DeMarcus Lawrence is a big deal for them. I mean, they already have Byron Murphy the second, who's also down there. And they're kind of building up the trenches, and their secondary is pretty good. So maybe Sam Darnold might be the answer. But Nick, I want to ask you, this may be going a little too far ahead, but do you think that Seattle, with these additions, maybe are a contender next year?
I think necessarily in the NFC West, I think so because of some of the moves that the other teams in the division have made. Especially, I know we're not going to mention them, but the 49ers basically cleaning house with their offense realistically, getting rid of Debo, looking to get rid of Ayuk, getting rid of Juszczyk. You got rid of Dre Greenlaw. Like you're getting rid of all these players that are key to your team. And even something that we'll mention in a future episode, Brock Purdy, what are you going to do with him? So I think in the NFC West, yes, they will be contenders, but against like a now even more stacked NFC North, it's going to be hard to make it to the Super Bowl in the NFC. Really, for any team this year.
Absolutely. And as you kind of mentioned it, NFC North, I know you and I both paying attention to what our division opponents are doing in this free agent time. So I want to talk on the Minnesota Vikings, who's coming in at our number three spot. Honestly, Nick, I was surprised by them. I really thought that last year, the Minnesota Vikings were a veteran team who, Sam Darnold had a great year. They really succeeded despite like what projections said about them, and they really like overperformed. And I thought these veterans were going to leave, and the Vikings were kind of just going to sit, rebuild players, obviously JJ McCarthy. But That was not the case. As a matter of fact, they rebuilt their whole offense and defense aligned, re-signed Byron Murphy. I want to ask you, Nick, what do you think about their free agency signing so far?
As a Lions fan, it scares me because especially that defensive line. I mean, we have, as a Lions fan, we have the two best running backs, I think, definitely in the NFC North, and David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. And the Vikings add two key factors to their defensive line in Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave. And then on the offensive line standpoint, realistically, right now, talking about the Lions, they only have Aiden Hutchinson and Aleem McNeil. Really, those are the two. And you add people like Will Fries and Ryan Kelly, two really key offensive guards. It's scary, to say the least. They're building the trenches, obviously wanting to protect JJ McCarthy, as he is also coming off an injury from last year. And to have a contract for Will Fries, I mean, 5 years, $88 million, that is kind of unheard of for an offensive guard. And then to add it, Ryan Kelly, 2 year, 18 mil, Jonathan Allen, 3 year, 51 mil, and Javon Hargrave, 2 year, 30 million. So you're going to have these guys for realistically at least 2 years, maybe some of them 3 to 4. So it is definitely scary to see these free agent signings by the Vikings. And then to add it even more, you still have Justin Jefferson, you still have Addison, you still have Jalen Naylor over there. You still have, I mean, even re-signing Aaron Jones, you have these key factors on this roster that, I mean, we said last year the NFC North was stacked. It's even more stacked this year, which is scary for us as Lions and Packers fans who have run the NFC North for the past 4 years, realistically.
Yeah, you did a really good job there of summarizing the Vikings. I mean, I'm very surprised by their moves because usually, too, they don't extend players that long. So I was very surprised with that Will Fries contract. I think it was just really ridiculous in my opinion. But yeah, as a Packers fan seeing that, I think I'm very nervous. I don't like it. Obviously, like I said, the secondary, I thought that they were going to get rid of a lot of players, but a guy like Byron Murphy, who had a great year, they re-signed him. It's nerve-wracking. You know, like you said, we said last season the NFC North was stacked. This season will be even better because down the line we'll get there. But Nick, going into our number two spot, this team competed last year in the playoffs and they had a great miracle run, including beating your Detroit Lions, the Washington Commanders.
Yes, this is a team that I don't really want to talk about. The Washington Commanders obviously coming off a NFC Championship appearance where they got smacked around by the Philadelphia Eagles. So I feel like these additions that they made are very key. You add a guy like Deebo Samuel, who can also play like that running back type role, and Laremy Tunsil and Javon Kinlaw. I mean, obviously Deebo Samuel and Tunsil being trades, and Javon Kinlaw being a 3 year, $45 million. This is already a very young and scary team. Obviously, you have Terry McLaurin, and we mentioned they need another wide receiver. They go out and get Deebo Samuel, who didn't have the best year last year, so it'd be interesting to see how he comes into this year. I feel like he might kind of be like that wide receiver two slash running back type role, like he has been. But it is definitely interesting to see. Now, do I think they're going to make the NFC Championship again this year? No. I think the NFC is just even more stacked this year than it was last year. And even adding a guy like Laremy Tunsil to protect your star quarterback and Jaden Daniels is a big key factor for this team. Daniels had to run out of the pocket a lot last season. So I feel like adding Laremy Tunsil, he can stay more composed in the pocket and really find these wide receivers like Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel open. And it's going to be a scary team. Definitely, that's for sure.
Yeah, I like what Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury are doing over there. They re-signed Bobby Wagner too, Zach Ertz, who, is an older tight end, but he did play a pretty prominent role last year. Same thing with Bobby Wagner. But yeah, I like what you said about Deebo. I do think, this Daniels Deebo combo can be pretty lethal if, the coordinators, draw up something unique. So I'm excited to see what they do over there. As we both talked about, as you pointed out, they do need another receiver. They went out and they got one. So I think that's very important. They did it day one. And I like what the Commanders are building over there. I do see them potentially winning the East. Maybe not, as you said, going that far again, but with the NFC being so strong. But I can see the Commanders being a real threat in the NFC.
Now, in terms of winning the NFC East, I think that they're going to get second. I still think Philadelphia is going to win the NFC East. Let's throw a little jab at the Cowboys since I seem to do it every year, in every single episode. Dallas Cowboys, when are you guys going to make a move that's even relevant?
Hey.
If you want to compete with any of these teams, Philadelphia, with Washington, you're going to have to make a move that's relevant and can actually help your team win.
Hey, they did make a move. They made Turpin the highest paid special teamer, all right?
I think realistically the Eagles will win the NFC East again this year. I'm saying it's going to be a closer battle, that's for sure. I don't see them losing 55 to 27 again by any means. So it'd be interesting to see. And now for our number one spot, which was definitely tough for both of us to put this in, especially for me because of their head coach. That being the Chicago Bears going out and completely revamping their offensive line and even some of their defensive line. They got players like Grady Jarrett, Deo
Ode Yang bingo.
Odeng
Ode
Bing,
Yang. Oh my goodness. I can't even say it. It's so tough. Ode Yingbo.
Joe Tooney, Jonah Jackson, and Drew Dalman. Now, I know Jonah Jackson from him being on the Detroit Lions 2 years ago, and he is a very versatile offensive lineman. Pair him up with Joe Tooney and Drew Dalman. This is going to be a scary offense. Obviously, we mentioned their wide receiver room last year, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze. And having a quarterback like Caleb Williams, especially with a head coach like Ben Johnson, this is going to be a scary roster. And I mean, the NFC North just keeps getting more stacked. I do see potentially all four teams making the playoffs this year. It could be very possible. And their defensive line, I mean, Grady Jarrett and Deo, both signing 3-year deals, Jarrett getting $44 million and Deo getting $48 million. Even Drew Dalman signing a 3-year deal as well. Now, Mike, I want to ask you, as a Packers fan, for you, where does this put you for your statement that you made that the Packers always seem to make the playoffs? Are you backing down on that comment? Because I am seeing a couple things where it will only be the Lions and the Bears making the playoffs for the NFC North this year.
No, Nick, sadly that's not going to happen. I think the Packers still have what it takes to make the playoffs. Now, this year their schedule is tough, and even for the North in general it's very tough. So, it will be an uphill battle. The Packers do still have key additions they need to address. Now, they did make a couple good additions in the free agency, but I'm not going to talk about that, but they still don't have that elite receiver. So that is a problem. So the Packers do like what they have, I guess, because that they haven't done anything yet about it. But I do see the Packers being able to make the playoffs. And like you said, maybe all four teams, maybe three teams again from the North make the playoffs. But I do see my Green Bay Packers making the playoffs, not being biased, but I just think that they made it almost every year. Why wouldn't they do it, you know, this year?
Okay, so my bait did not work, guys. So, but yeah, I think realistically, the Bears, I mean, me and you were talking back and forth. The Bears were definitely just making moves left and right. We were both saying, when is this going to stop? Like, when are they going to stop? Apparently, I saw Amon-Ra St. Brown mention this. Apparently, the Bears have unlimited money at this point.
Seems like it,
So
yeah.
who knows what other moves are going to make.
But
And it's definitely scary, especially for the NFC North.
yeah, I was going to say, Nick, that going back to the Bears Packers for a second, I can definitely see this rivalry going 1-1, if not 0-2. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's pretty scary. We saw Caleb Williams behind a bad offensive line. What is he going to look like behind a good offensive line? And the Packers' problem has been pressure. So this will be a battle, and I'm nervous. I hate to say it, but I am nervous. We thought last year the Bears roster was scary, and this was going to be a force to be reckoned with. This is a huge upgrade, and this is a force to be reckoned with times two. So as a
Yeah.
Packers fan, I am nervous. I'd say for the NFC North, I'd be nervous as a whole, but we'll see. It's the Chicago Bears at the end of the day. Maybe they can find a way to lose in crazy ways like they did last year. I hope so. But yeah, Nick, that's my final take on the Chicago Bears. They did a great job in free agency. I'm jealous, but you know, when you lose so much, you're bound to have that much cap space.
Yeah, I'll even mention as a Lions fan, this rivalry is going to grow even more, especially with Ben Johnson going over to the Bears.
Oh yeah.
And this series went 2-0 to the Lions last year. Obviously, Thanksgiving could have been a different story if Matt Eberflus knew how to call a timeout. But I will say that I think I'm in the same boat. I think that this series is going to go 1-1 between the Bears and the Lions. I think realistically, all four series, or sorry, all three series for the Lions might go 1-1 this year, especially with how scary each team is looking. So it would be interesting to see how this season rolls around and comes together. And free agency is just starting, there's still a lot of moves to happen. Let me ask you this. What are your two wishes that your Green Bay Packers will do in this free agency?
Yeah, I kind of touched on it a little bit. I was hoping the Packers would get an edge rusher, somebody who's well known. I mean, I don't mind giving up that big contract because we need an edge rusher. Also, the Packers did address this issue, so it's already checkmarked, but a cornerback, we needed a cornerback and they addressed that issue. They got Nate Hobbs, 4 year, 48 million. Most people may not know him, but he's coming from Vegas and he's actually a pretty good like cornerback. He's not talked about enough, but I think if I was not mistaken, I think he was like sixth in terms of, I forgot the stat on the top of my head. Great. He was sixth in something. I wish I could recall what it was.
Third down.
Something, it was
I think it was
something
third down.
I don't recall what it was, but he's a decent cornerback. I'm excited to see him in Green Bay because we needed a corner. So he looks like a dude that can blow up, you know, a screenplay or a running back. So he's a downhill hitter. That's what I like. That's what we need. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and I'll kind of follow up on my kind of two wishes for the Lions. Edge rusher, definitely an edge rusher. We can't rely on only Hutchinson and potentially Davenport. Hutchinson coming off an injury, Davenport proving time and time again that he can't stay healthy. And I will say an offensive lineman too. I think with Kevin Zeitler going into free agency, you really need a young offensive lineman because our offensive line over in Detroit they are all over 27 years old, 27, 28 years old. So they are all getting up there in terms of age, and the injuries are soon to get to them. I mean, a lot of them have been injured multiple times. Frank Ragnow played on a broken foot half the season last year. So it'd be interesting to see the Lions get an offensive lineman as well, but definitely an edge rusher. I've been saying Trey Hendrickson, like, come over to Detroit. You know how Dan Campbell operates with your time in New Orleans. So hopefully the Lions make a move for an edge rusher. But we do have a couple of announcements that we want to make before we end this week's episode. So, Mike, if you want to go ahead and make those announcements.
Yeah, so obviously the schedule's kind of changed with the off season. Nick and I have been talking about doing an episode one every 2 weeks. We're trying to shoot for, and some ideas that we've talked about, we're gonna do obviously this episode, but we're gonna talk about the combine, and then Nick and I are gonna do a mock draft simulator. I think that'll be interesting because I'm actually interested to see how Nick's list is going to turn out, how we can talk about it and see what, how we think the draft will go. And then we also have another fun idea, which I'm looking forward to. So is Nick, I'm sure. We're getting on two other people who are fans of the Vikings and Bears because I'm a Packers fan, Nick's a Detroit Lions fan. So we're going to have like an NFC North roundtable edition where we're just going to talk and sit with each other. And I said that backwards. We're going to sit and talk with each other. We're going to sit and talk with each other about just everything regarding the NFC North, asking each other questions, having a good, fun discussion. So we're bringing on two guests, which will be awesome. And I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, and also we are going to be live streaming the NFL draft, which is hosted in Green Bay, Wisconsin this year. So I'm sure Mike is excited to have his team host the NFL draft as my team hosted the draft last year. So it would definitely be super fun to do that. So stay tuned to when we announce when we will be live for the NFL draft. And stay tuned for these episodes, guys. We're posting on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And once the regular season comes around, we will be doing weekly episodes again. So just for the off season, we're doing every other week. So bear
And
with us as we move into this off season.
also, guys, stay tuned for the YouTube shorts. Make sure to check those out. Comments because we're interacting with all of you guys. Make sure to give it a thumbs up. We're going to be pumping out a lot of shorts content, especially with the free agencies that's going on. So we'll give you a quick 30-second rundown if it's not covered in this episode, perhaps about somebody you're looking for. So definitely be sure to stay tuned for that because the next couple of weeks they'll be coming out.
Yeah, and if you guys want to see any episodes done this off season, just let us know in the comments and we will be sure to do those episodes. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. If you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. We are also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. So go check those out. Give us a like, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace.